Today's Shir's Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom. Tanan Hasam the Mishnah, Masechet Maaseros, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel discusses, as we have been discussing in our Shiurim, at what point is fruits and vegetables, spices, mechuyev and maaseros. So the Mishnah says a tilsim, which is a type of a spice, the time that that's considered that it's obligated a maisa is not like vegetables, which, as we have been learning, the time for maisa by vegetables is when lakita, when we actually pick the vegetable, but rather mishatitzmach, which the Gemara will soon define. Hatfua, grain, grapes, vazesim, and olives, the shear is mishivu shlish gedulam. When they bring a third, when they bring a third of what they're going to grow. So Rashi explained that tilson is a type of bean that was used for spices. Even though, as the Rambam says, it's not typically used on its own, it's only used as a spice, still, it's mechuyev maaseros. And the Braisa taught us that the shear is made Mishatitzmach. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My Mishatitzmach, what is meant when the Braisa said Mishatitzmach? Says the Gemara, Mishatitzmach Lizroim. When the seed inside of it is ripened. So as Rashi explains, that since the seed has developed, that's enough that it should be considered a vegetable that's mechuyev maaseros. Other Rishonim explain that the definition of mishiyitzmach is that the seed that's in this tilson is already so developed that if you will plant it elsewhere, it will grow. If the seed is strong enough and developed enough that it could grow elsewhere, then it's considered that it's mechuyev maaseros. Says the Gemara. We just learned that the shear by grain, by olives, by grapes, is from when they bring a third. Ask the Gemara, mononymili, from where do we know this? And as I saw the Rishonim explain, why did our Gemara specifically ask this question here by Tfu Mezesim? We've been speaking about shiurim throughout, yet here we're concerned about the shear. So the answer Rashi gives is, as we discussed in our previous shear, the chiyev maaseros by dogen tirish v'yitzer is a chiyev deraisa. And since there's a chiyev deraisa, we of course want to be careful to perform the mitzvah perfectly. And since we want to be careful to perform the mitzvah perfectly, that's why we need to know exactly where do we know this, that that's the shear, because we're dealing with an issue of deraisa. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Umata b'mishmei, the Rav Yossi Aglili, Amar Kra, the Pasuk speaks about the mitzvah of Hakel. That means the year after the Shemitah year, on Sukkos, when all of Klai Yisrael would be oilel regal, Klai Yisrael were told, Hakel anoshev anoshev ataf, they all gathered in the Beis HaMikdash, and the king would read from the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, the Pasuk says regarding the mitzvah of Hakel, Miket Sheva Shonim, B'moyed Shnas HaShemitah, B'chag HaSukkos. So the question obviously is, Shnas HaShemitah, my Avidite B'chag HaSukkos. We're speaking about Sukkos. So how does the Pasuk of, how does Shemitah come into it? El Eloi Malach, to teach us, Kol Tvu Shviyish Shlish B'Shviyis, any produce that grew a third already in the Shemitah year, the halacha is lefnei Rosh Hashanah atanoig by shvius b'shminus. It has on it kedusha shvius, and that you have to treat it with that kedusha, even though now it's a year after Shemitah. Amalei Rav Zeira Ravasi. So Rav Zeira asked Rav Asi, who on this limud, v'demalayaya klal. Maybe the pasuk is not speaking about this at all. But rather, the Kamar Rachmana, what the Torah is coming to teach us, that the halacha of Shemitah continues until Shemitah until Sukkot of the year after, says the Gemara L'Sakadatach. It doesn't really make sense to explain the Pasuk that way, the Ksiv, because when the Torah speaks about Sukkot, the Torah says, V'chagas Osif, B'tzeis HaShana, B'osmechos Masechem and Asada. My Osif. Ask the Gemara, what does the Torah mean when it says Osif? Ilema, if you will suggest that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that Sukkot is Chag Habob is Man HaSifa, that when is the time for Yontav Sukkot, the time when the rain is about to start falling in Eretz Yisrael. And since the rain is about to start falling in Eretz Yisrael, you have to bring, they brought the produce in at that early, right before then, they shouldn't get ruined from the rain. Haksiv, the Pasuk says, B'aspachas Masechem and Asada. So the Torah already indicated that that is the time for Yontav Sukkot. Elmai Osif, what did the Torah mean by saying Osif? Kotzer. It means cutting. Mekimlul Rabbanan. And Chazal knew the kol shetvua shenikzer b'chag, any tvua that is cut on Sukkot, b'yidu shevii shlish lefnei Rosh Hashanah. It must have already been brought a third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah. Because if it hadn't developed to that point before Rosh Hashanah, it would not be ripe enough to pick on Sukkot. And the Pasuk calls this Tvua B'tzeis HaShana. It's considered like last year's. And what the Torah is saying is that anything that's picked, cut during Sukkot, it's considered as if it's from last year. And if last year is Shemitah, this has on it Kedusha Shvius. But from here we learn, says the Gemara, that when we speak about when is it considered having been brought, that is from the time of cutting. Ask the Gemara, Amle Reb Yirmiel Reb Zeira, Achazal, such experts, V'kimlul Rabbanan, B'apok, L'shlish, L'pok, M'shlish, were Chazal able to be confident, as Ritva explains the Gemara's question, were Chazal able to be confident that if I'm cutting a vegetable on Sukkot, that I can be sure it was brought a shlish before Rosh Hashanah? Since we're speaking about such a very delicate amount, exact amount, how could they be so sure that it was already a shlish before Rosh Hashanah if we're picking it on Rosh Hashanah? That's the way the Ritva learns the Gemara. Duran adds another point. Duran says that it's perhaps not that difficult to determine at what point a fruit or vegetable is when it's detached from the ground. But here we're talking about produce that was still attached to the ground. Says the Ran, the Gemara's question is it possible for us to be so confident and know the status of a fruit or vegetable that hasn't been picked yet? But from Rashi, it seems that the Gemara's question is a totally different question. The question is, from where were Chazal such great experts in knowing where all about agriculture, and to know that if I'm picking something on Sukkot, it must have been grown a third already last year. From where did Chazal, where were Chazal such experts? Amalei, so Reb Zeira said to Reb Yirmiyah, Lava minaloch, haven't I told you previously, don't ever question Chazal's shiurim. When Chazal gives us a shiur, we have to accept the shiurim as is, and accept them without asking any question. Because he comments, if we look at halacha and we speak about shiurim and all halacha, that's the way it is. Chazal gave the exact shiurim. For example, the halacha is abam so ma'am toivel. The halacha is that a person, a mikveh to be considered a kosher mikveh, has to have a bom saw of mikveh water. A bom saw chosa kartiv, if it's missing even the slightest amount, any yachalit behem, it's not a kosher mikveh. And the halacha is that not only is it not a kosher mikveh for a person who obviously can't have his body covered by water when it's such a small mikveh, but even if we're immersing a small keli, we could easily be covered with such a small amount, with a smaller amount of water. Once Chazal said that that is the shir mikveh, that is the shir mikveh. Similarly, The halacha is kebeya matama tumas oichlim. If you have a food that's the sheer kebeya, it could give off tumah. There's a machloikis rishonim how to understand this halacha. Rashi learns that if kebeya could give over tumah, could transmit tumah, but in order to become tameh, you don't need to have a size of a kebeya. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that even to be mekabel tumah, to become tameh, if you don't have food that's the shear of a kebeya, it's not mekabel tumah. And the simile, a kebeya transmits tumah, kebeya chasa shumshim, but if you have a slight amount less than a kebeya, it doesn't transmit tumah. So again, we see from here how exact chazal with the shiurim. Another example, shloisha al shloisha, when you have a piece of material that's 3x3 tfachim or tamei midras. If somebody sits on that piece of material, the halach is a zov, sits on something that's meant for sitting, he gives over a very serious tumah. It's called tumas medras. And the halach is that if it's how, what is the minimum size of the piece of material that the zov sits on that it gives over tumas medras? 3 tfachim at 3 tfachim. But if it's shloisha tfachim, if it's shloisha al shloisha chasa nimer, if it's 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim minus the smallest amount, enem tuma medras. So therefore, he said, don't question Chazal shurim. Chazal shurim have to be accepted as they are given to us. Hadar am Rabbi Yirmiyah. But then Rabbi Yirmiyah commented and said, "Lam will say the Emri. Everything that I said, I didn't mean to question Chazal. The Menayim Chavrayu Mirav Kahana. Rav Kahana, the yeshiva Talmidim, asked Rav Kahana, Oy Mashi Krivi Yisrael B'kin Yisrael L'Eretz. As Klai Yisrael arrived in Tetz Yisrael, as Yeshua led them into Eretz Yisrael, Mehechen Hikrivua. We know that on the second day of Pesach, Tezai Nissen, at night we cut new oimer, we cut barley, and the next day on Tezai Nissen we bring a carbon oimer, and from then on the chadosh may be eaten. Now Klai Yisrael only arrived in Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nissen, and the question is, how was it possible that in such a short amount of time they had oimer to bring a carbon oimer on the Tezai Nissen. Vim timer, if we'll say the Ayil Biyad Nochri, that the Omer was grown by a Nochri, and that was the Omer that they used to cut. Ask the Gemara, Mim Ktzirchem Amrachmana. The Torah says that what should be used for the Omer, Ktzirchem Amrachmana, for like Tzir Nochri, to suggest that they used the Omer of Nochrim. That is obviously not an option because we're not allowed to use that barley for carbon. So Tosfos asks that we know that Eretz Yisrael was given to us as a Yerusha from our fathers. So why does the Gemara say that you're potter? Because it's Tzir Nochri, it's our land. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. So he says that the Tori Evan, in answer to Tosfos Kasha, says that since the Nochrim were the ones that planted it and tended to them, yes, Klai Yisrael also has an ownership right in Eretz Yisrael, but since it's not considered purely ours, it's not considered purely ours if we didn't do all of the work on planting and growing this Omer, this barley. And in fact, I saw that the Sefer Proshas Drachim uses this concept that since it wasn't only ours, we weren't totally involved in the planting and growing of this Omer, he uses this to explain Psukim that Avram Avinu spoke about. Rashi says, Avram Avinu, when he approaches the Bnei Ches to ask for Makam Kvura for his wife, Sarah, said to them, Ger v'toshiv anoichi imachem. And the difficulty of this pasuk is obvious. Ger means that I am a foreigner, and Toisha means that I'm a citizen. How is that reconciled? So Rashi says, "Im tirtzu areni ger." If you want, I'll treat myself like a ger and ask you to be nice and sell me a plot. V'mlav, eya toshev. I'll claim that I'm a toshev, v'atlenem min adin, and I'll have a right to any makom kfur in Eretz Yisrael. Shamli HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zaracha etenes ha'aretz hazois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised me that this land will belong ours, to belong to Klal Yisrael. So this land belongs to me. I have a right to take whatever property I want from makom kfur for sari menu. Ask the precious drachim that the pasuk earlier in Parashas Lech Lecha, when it speaks about the dispute that was taking place between the Roi Avram and the Roi Lot, the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot, the shepherds of Lot took their field, took their animals to other people's fields, and Avram Avinu told them, "You're not allowed to do that." The shepherds of Avram Avinu told the shepherds of Lot, "You're not allowed to do that." And how did the Roi Lot respond? They said, "Nitna Oretz Lavram." That all of Eretz Yisrael was given to Avram. Ve'en lo Yerush. Avram Avinu at that point did not have any children. Ve'loit ben Achiv. So Loit, who is his nephew, Yerush, I say, will be his Yerush. And the Pasuk says that they were wrong, because the Pasuk says that Knani va'prizi oz Yosheb Oretz. And Rashi explains, Shadayin loy zochab Avram. Avram Avinu did not have a right in Eretz Yisrael. So how do we understand this? Here Avram Avinu is saying that I am really the true owner of all of Eretz Yisrael. And here Avram Avinu's shepherd is saying, no, we don't really have ownership in Eretz Yisrael. You Lot have no right to go take whatever you want. So the Prash Drachim says that using the Gemara that we just learned, it's very geschmack. When we're speaking about a plot for Kvura, so a plot for Kvura is not a place that anybody worked on. So Avram Avinu has a right to claim that I own Eretz Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu. But when we're speaking about the Royim, the shepherds that were working on fields which were planted, fields that were planted belong, as we just learned from the Torah Evan, a combination of the owner and the person who planted it. That's why we said in our Gemara, it's a combination of the Nachrim who planted the fields and Klal Yisrael who owned the field, and that's why the Gemara could say it's not considered Kitzirchem. So if that's the case, says the Parashat Terachim, by a plot Avram Avinu's claim was understandable, by the Royim, his claim was not understandable. So the question is that, why didn't they bring the Omer from Eivar Yarden? The halacha is that Eivar Yarden ought to be considered Eretz Yisrael. And if Eivar Yarden is considered Eretz Yisrael, that they had already taken over, and they should bring the Omer from there. So I saw that the Shail Sechuvah Eretz V says a very important point. He says, of course, they could have brought it from there. But they didn't want to bring it from there because it really is not the preferable place to bring it from. The place to bring it from is to bring it from Eretz Yisrael. And this was the first time that they were bringing the carbon omer. To bring it the first time, we want to do it in a perfect manner. And he goes on to explain, there's a famous question when we speak about Chanukah. The question is, we know the whole nace of Chanukah was that they found one pitcher of oil that wasn't tamei. But isn't there a halacha that tuma hotra b'tzibur, that if most of the tzibur, if most items are tamei, we could be more lenient? So here, if everything was tamei, why don't we rely on tuma hotra b'tzibur? The answer is, they were doing a Chanukah. They were reinaugurating the Mizbeach. When we want to do a mitzvah the first time, we want to do it 100% right, without doing it in a way that isn't 100% perfect, taking it from oil that's tamei and relying on tuma hotra b'tzibur. And there's a fantastic story from the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe once came to a bar mitzvah, and the bar mitzvah boy was benching, as is the minig in most places, by the Birchas HaMazon at the Sudas HaBar Mitzvah. The Bar Mitzvah Bacha, the first time he has the opportunity, we ask him to lead the benching. And he finished, and he benched, and they took a kaisha bracha, they took this cup of wine, and he drank most of the cup, Rav Kais, as the halacha tells us that it's adequate to drink Rav Kais. The Belzer Rebbe told this bar mitzvah boy, I want you to drink, I recommend that you drink the whole cup. And they asked him, why are you asking this young 13-year-old bar mitzvah boy to drink the entire cup of wine? So he said, of course the halacha says that drinking Rav Kais is adequate. But this is the first time this bar mitzvah boy is doing this mitzvah. The first time he's doing a mitzvah, he should do it without any shortcuts. And if the proper way of doing the mitzvah is by drinking the entire cup of wine, don't take any shortcuts by relying on Rav Kais. So the question again is that here we have a situation that Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nissan, and how will they have barley to bring the carbon Eimer on Tezayin Nissan? Says the Gemara, Ramayda Kriva, who says that they brought the carbon Eimer that year? Maybe Dimlai Krivu. Indeed, they didn't bring the carbon Eimer that year because there was no other option. Says the Gemara Loisa Al Kedatach. That is not acceptable. Because the Pasuk says in Yeshua, V'yoichlu me'avor ha'aretz me'machras ha'pesach. They ate from the new tefuah from Tezai Nissan. We know it's called Machras ha'pesach. What do we see? They started eating the chadosh that year from the second day of Pesach. Before that, they did not eat the chadosh. Why? Because the krivu, obviously, they brought the carbon eimer for hada achli, and then they ate. So we see that even that year, they ate from the chadosh based on the carbon eimer. So, but the question comes back. So if they brought a carbon eimer, as you're suggesting, but the question is, mehechen akrivu? Wasn't all the grain, the barley and Eretz Yisrael from what the Akum planted, and it won't be kitzirchem? Mehechen akrivu? Says the Gemara, amlem kol shlai vishtosh biyad nachri. It was tvua that had not come to the state of third in the hands of the Akum, and therefore, since we got Klai Yisrael got that tefuah before it was a third grown, it's considered kitzirchem. So we see from here that the Klai Yisrael asked the Gemara of Dilma Ayav Lekem Lahu, but why? How can we be certain that it was not a third grown? Ella, what do we see for the fact that they were able to make that determination? It must be the Kim Lahu, that Rabbanon were able to know when is it a third grown and what is not a third grown. Hachinami, so we see that the Chazal were experts in this field. So too, Chazal are experts and tell us that if we have tefuah that we're cutting on Sukkot, it must have grown a third before Rosh Hashanah. Hachinami, here too, regarding the subject that we're learning, we have to establish the Kimlahu, who Chazal are big experts that can make that determination. Ask the Gemara, maybe it didn't start really ripening at all when it was by the Akram. Aval hechad the Isle River, ben shlish the pachs mishlish lekivul. In other words, where it didn't ripen at all, that's noticeable. And since it's noticeable, we were able to know that this was something that grew by Yisrael. But to know the minute difference between a third and less than a third and more than a third, maybe they're not able to do. Says the Gemara, Eina loisakadatach. It doesn't make sense to say that it really hardly grew at all by the Akum. The Ksiv, because the Pasuk says, as we mentioned earlier, V'am olam anayardim be'asul chaydish. Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael on Yud Nissan. V'isakadatach de loyayel klal. And if you're going to suggest that the Wutvua really hadn't grown at all beforehand, in the short amount of time ketvua grow, it must have been at least very close to a third by the Akum that we should be able to cut it and consider it ripe by the second day of Pesach. Elamai, what are you going to say? The Isle River Adanka, that it grew somewhat, asked the Gemara, Akati b'chamishi yomim mikamalya, even if it grew somewhat, is it sensible to say, does it make sense to say that in such a short amount of time it was finished? Elamai islachameima, what must we say? That the Torah, when it speaks about Eretz Yisrael, the Torah calls in Sefer Daniel Eretz Tzvi. And Tzvi is a deer. And what's most unique about a deer is that the deer runs very quickly. Hachnami Eretz Tzvi Ksiba. The Torah speaking about Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even though it hardly grew before Yud Nissan, it could be it was already ripe by Tezai Nissan. And if that's the case, we can't bring a raya that Chazal were experts in agriculture. Chazal were not necessarily experts in agriculture. Here it was very simple. The tefuah had not really grown barely beforehand, and it grew in the hands of Yisrael. So the Yerushalmi, working with what we just learned in this Gemara, asks a question. That year, the Gemara we just finished established that they brought the Omer, the carbon Omer, on the second day of Pesach. The reason they were able to do so, because as we just learned, the tefuah grew very quickly, and it was, even though it wasn't really growing much before Yud Nissan when they arrived, by Tezai Nissan it was ready for cutting and bringing as a carbon. But we know that the night before Tezai Nissan is Tezvav Nissan, when we have an obligation to eat matzah. So the question is, how could they eat matzah that year? All of the grain was chadash. So Yerushalmi gives two answers. One answer that Yerushalmi gives is that Esa Doicha Loisa Say, the essay of eating matzah is Doicha de Loisa Say of eating chadash. And another answer that Yerushalmi gives, that the grain that they used to bake the matzahs wasn't grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael, which was chadash grain. It was rather grain that they bought from foreign merchants, grain that was from that Eretz Yisrael. Says the Mechitz Chinuch that if we're going to use the first teretz that the Yerushalmi suggested, the concept of Esa Doicha Loisa Say, so then says the Mechitz Chinuch, Esa Doicha Loisa Say says that the mitzvahs Say overtakes the mitzvahs Loisa Say, but that's only when I'm fulfilling a mitzvahs Say. So you would only be allowed to eat exactly a kazayas of, the matzah to fulfill the mitzvah matzah, which supersedes the lav of chadash. Eating any more would be no mitzvah, and you would have no right to eat it. Eating less, says the chinuch, is also not an option, because if you eat less, then you're not mekayim the mitzvah. And if you're not mekayim the mitzvah, we don't have the concept of esay doicha loisasei. So if that's the case, ask the Mechitz Chinuch, there's a concept throughout Shas of e'efshel tzamtzim. It's impossible for a human being to be exact. So ask the Mechitz Chinuch if it's impossible to be exact. And the way he just explained, in order to fulfill Esa Doicha Loisasei, they were only allowed to eat exactly a kazayis, not more and not less. How could they have relied on that if there's a concept of e'efshel tzamtzim? So the stipler answers that the rule of Esa Doicha Loisasei doesn't only allow us to do what we have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah Sasei. He says everything that's required to be able to get to fulfillment of the mitzvah Sasei is included in the rule of Esa Doicha Loisasei. So in order that a person should know that he ate a kazayas, he really has to eat a little more than a kazayas to be confident that he ate a kazayas. Says the stipler, the eating the extra above the kazayas is considered a heksha mitzvah. And just like on the mitzvah itself, we say Esa Doicha Loisasei, so too the halacha is we say Esa Doicha Loisasei on the heksha mitzvah. And therefore, the issue that the Mechitz Chinuch raised is answered, because it explains the stipler, they indeed ate a little more than what they thought was a kazayas, but they still had the heter of Esa Doicha Loisasei. So we learned earlier that this that we say that depends on a third, or that if it grew a third in the Shemitah year, it's considered Shemitah produce. If it grew less than a third in the Shemitah year, it's not considered Shemitah produce. It's all learned from the pasuk of Achaga Asu B'Tzeis HaShonam. Ask the Gemara, Maskler of Chanina, or Mi Matzot Amr Dahai Asu Katsu here, is that what the pasuk is coming to teach us? For Ksiv, the pasuk when it speaks about Sukkos, says, Chaga Sukkos Taskel Chashivis Yomim, Ba'os Becha Megon Chom Yikvecha, Vomama, and the Gemara Masech the Sukkos, Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph teaches us that that pasuk is coming to teach us what material may be used to make schach. And the pasuk is teaching us b'psoilus gerim v'yekav akasim medaber, that we learn from here that the only material that can be used to make schach has to be something which grows from the ground, like gerim v'yekav, and it has to be something which is not mekabel tumah. So if that's the case, ask the Gemara, how can we use this pasuk to teach us the halacha about a third? The pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of what is considered kosher schach. So the Meshech Chochma makes a very important point. The Meshech Chochma says that we know there's a question: when, what is Sukkah Seicha? What does Yontif Sukkah commemorate? As we learned in Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. One opinion is that it commemorates the Anani HaKovid, and one opinion is that it commemorates the Sukkahs, the huts that we sat in. So ask the Meshech Chochma, what's the Gemara's Raya that this is considered, that Sukkahs, we have to have Psoilus Garin Yekev, because they're like the Sukkahs we sat in the Midbar. Maybe Sukkahs is Zeichel Anani HaKovid. So the Meshech Chochma says that this pasuk that the Gemara quoted now is a pasuk that stated after the Lucha Shnius. And at that point, we can't call it Zeichel Anani HaKovid, because we know there were no Anani HaKovid. The Anani HaKovid left after they did the Avera of the Eagle. So it must be that it's Zeichel HaSukkos. And if it's Zeichel HaSukkos, it's coming to teach us one material is Chach. Omrav Zeira, HaMilsa HaVe B'Yodim. So Zeira comments, we had a wonderful source how to learn the Halacha of a Shlish. And now, says the Gemara, Vasar Rav Chanina, Shadu Bei Narga. And now Rav Chanina cut it off and asked the question that shows us that that's not what the pasuk is teaching us. So we're back to where we started. We spoke at the beginning of our shir that the shir of Tvua, when is it considered the year of Gruin, is when it's a shlish. Ask the Gemara, Elam and Nolan, what is the source for that halacha? Answer the Gemara, Tanya Rav Yonasan Ben Yosef Omer, the pasuk says, regarding the Shemitah, the Klai Yisrael going to say, Manoichu b'shona ha-shvis. What will we eat? If we're not, Hein lo nizra v'lo nesavis t'vilaseinu, if we're not allowed to work our fields, answers the Torah, v'tzivoy si'as b'chosir l'chem b'shona ha-shvis, v'osas ha-t'vul l'shal l'shonim. That what will grow in the sixth year will be enough for 3 years. Atikri l'sholish, so he says the way to understand that limud is not l'sholish, but rather to understand it l'shlish. That anything that grows within a third is considered tvua, and it's coming to teach us that anything that grows in a third in the Shemitah year is considered Shemitah produce. Less than that is not Shemitah produce. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say that that's the limit of that pasuk? Isn't the limit of pasuk of Miboile Legufe? Don't we need that pasuk to teach us what we just discussed, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us that we'll have a bracha, that we'll have enough tvua for the 3 years? Answers the Gemara, to teach us that, we have another pasuk. Because ksiv kara achrina, uzratim es hashana hashminis, v'chaltim min ha-tvua yoshan ad hashana tshiyis. So this guarantee that a Kodesh Baruch will take care of us, we already have a source for that halacha. It must be that this pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of shlish. So as we've been discussing the shiurim, when is a produce considered finished? Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masech the Shvius, Perik Beis, Mishnah Zion teaches us Oyrus v'Doichen, rice and millet v'Pargin. It's a type of looks like a pomegranate full of seeds. V'Shumshimin, sesame seeds are all in the category of kidneys. And if Hishrishu l'fnei Rosh Hashanah, if they took root before Rosh Hashanah, Mesasim l'shaver, they considered last year's produce, and Mutarim b'shvius. And if that last year was the sixth year, they don't have kedusha shvius. Mimlav, but if they only took root after Rosh Hashanah, Asurim b'shvius, then they're Asur and Shemitah, and Mesasim l'shana abba, they have the status as next year's produce. It's very interesting. Dor Chener points out, in the first part of this brisa, it speaks about Shemitah, it speaks about Meiser, and then Shemitah. Mes'asim l'sh'over, and Mutarim b'shvius. In the second part of the brisa inverts the order. It says, it speaks about Shvius first,
and then it's based about Meiser. Why does the Braisa change the order? So he says the Braisa is to be done as follows. Not only is the Braisa in the first part teaching us that we treat whatever took root before Rosh Hashanah as last year's produce, because the Chazal have the right. These are fruits that are now, as we discussed in our previous year, that don't have a chiv deraisa of meiser. So there certainly Chachamim have a right to make a determination when is the cutoff date. But even Shemitah, which is a deraisa, that is the halacha. But when we're speaking in the second part, there when we're trying to teach us a chumrah, so Shemitah, which is a deraisa, is more important to discuss than the meiser on these various items, which are only the rabbonim. Amr Rava, Amr Rabbanan, the Rabbanan taught us that Ilan Basa Chanota, that when we speak about a tree, we'll speak about this extensively in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow's Shir, the halach is that we follow the time when it blossoms. Tfu Vazasim, when we speak about grain, olives, grapes, Basa Shlish. Yerek, when we speak about vegetables, Basa Lakita. We follow the time when they're collected. And it's a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam's opinion is basal akita means exactly the time when they're collected. Whenever they're collected, in whatever point, that's the year that the mechuyev meiser. Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that we don't follow the time when they're actually collected, lakita, but we follow the time when they're ready to be collected. And the Rash Mishans has a third opinion. He says, as far as Hilchos Shemitah is concerned, as far as Hilchos Meis is concerned, we follow the time when they're actually collected. When it comes to Shemitah, we follow the time when they're ready to be collected. Now, we spoke about these various bean items at the beginning of this part of the Gemara, and here we learned that it goes with Ashrosha. Chani Kaman Shivyenu Rabbanan. As we said earlier, Kama the Tukin Rabbanan, we said in the previous year, Kama the Tukka Rabbanan came the Raisa Tukkin. When Rabbanan make a rule, they try to follow the rules that are established by the Raisa. So there are various shurim, as we've been learning, which are shurim that consider a fruit developed. But this, we've never learned to Shrishu. Where did Chazal take this shear from? Answers the Gemara, Hada Marava, B'toich She'osu Parochim Parochim, because the way these beans developed, they're not all picked at one time. They're taken a little at a time. They're used primarily as spices, and people take them a little at a time. So in order to avoid a problem that you're going to have all of these fruits, all of these items mixed together, so because we're concerned that we're going to have all of them mixed together, a person may end up taking from one year on the next year. To avoid that problem, what Chazal said is that we go with the Ashrasha. Azla Rabban Abbas Ashrasha, and we follow if they all took root at the same time. And of course, the explanation in this Gemara is that since the Chiv is only a Chiv the Rabbanon, as we mentioned earlier, so once we have something which only has a Chiv the Rabbanon could say we have to take Meiser, and the Rabbanon could also determine at what time we take the Meiser, and the Rabbanon determined that we take them all Bas Ashrasha. Amla Baya, so ask Abaya, why would Chazal have to make such a rule? Why don't just go, Yitzba Garnel Toichai, why don't we mix up all of these fruits and we'll have a mixture of all of last year's fruits and this year's fruit, and Nimtza Metayimah, and when you'll take off Meiser, you'll take it off proportionally, and we can be confident that as you have a proportion of how much is in the barrel from last year and this year, when you take it off, it'll also be proportionate last year and this year. Why can't we take that type of an approach? Miloy Tanya, so the Gemara is saying, the Gemara obviously anticipates that what would one want to suggest? That you can't assume that the mixture is at a perfect proportion. Ask the Gemara, Miloy Tanya, haven't we learned in a Braisa? Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, Amar Mishim, Rabbi Shimon Zuri, Pula Mitzri, it's a type of a bean that primarily grows in Mitzrayim in Egypt, Shazara Lazara, that you planted it in order to eat the seeds, Mixes Hishrish L'fnei Rosh Hashanah, or Muktsasa Hishrish L'achar Rosh Hashanah, part of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, and part took root after Rosh Hashanah, The halacha is ein tarm mizeh mizeh, a mas mizeh mizeh. You can't take trumas and maisrus from this year's or last year's, as we've discussed. So you have to keep separate what's this year's and what's next year. So what do you do? Ketzer oiser. What do you do? Soiv garnel toichay. You take a big amount and you mix them all together. Nimtz, and then you take it off. And nimtz a timer meisim in a chadish shabai al chadish shabai or min a yoshin shabai al yoshin shabai. So we see that we could rely that they will be properly mixed. And when we take off the trumas and meisrus, they'll be taken off at the proper proportion. So why don't we say that here? Amalei, Rav Shimon Shazurim Kamrit, you're asking me a question based on what Rav Shimon Shazuri just paskened. Rav Shimon Shazuri is the man the Amar holds Yesh Bila, who holds that things could be mixed properly. But as the Tori Evan points out, as we've said a few times in our shir, that's only by Maisa the Rabbanon. Since the entire chiv is only the Rabbanon, so there Rav Shimon Shazuri says we could rely on Bila that they were mixed up in the proper proportion. The Rabbanon disagree, however, with Rav Shimon Shazuri, and they hold that we can't rely that they were mixed at the proper proportion. Ein Bila, and since they hold that we can't rely that they were mixed at the proper proportion, that's why in this case as well, we just saying that we should mix them all together and that we'll be confident that they will all be taking off the trumas and maisrus of the proper proportion is not something that we could rely on. And in order to avoid any problems, that's why Chazal said that we should have one time for all of them. It's the time of Ashrasha. And again, to repeat, Chazal have a right to do so because the entire chiv to take off trumas and maisrus on these types of things that grow is only in Midrabbanan.